Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? There is a large amount of black clouds over the city of Houston today, and the weather sucks too. There's a lot going on in the sporting world. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. It is a Tuesday. Yes, we know we have to pick a way back Wednesday, but before we get to all that, we need to check in with the fellas, catch up on any little thing we might have missed from last night leading up to today, and get into the show. What's up?
What's up?
Anything happen? Anything worthy of talking about? I mean, anything worthy of a call, calling, and FUing? Good Lord, it's been a day already, and we haven't even gotten on the air. Patrick Creighton, God bless you, but you fired these people up, and they call with some venom.
Well, you're excited today.
I like it. I had 2 cups of coffee. Woo-hoo!
Oh, my God, it's going to be a long 3
yeah!
hours. Oh, Jesus.
I'm ready!
It's been a morning.
You got caught in a little traffic.
So first of all, I woke up.
Thank God.
To work out in the yard. And there's I went to the fertilizer place yesterday after work. And they had a big sign that says chinch bug warning. And remember, we were talking about this as a joke. So I was like, that's what's killing my grass. So I had a bunch of chemicals at the house. I was like, you know what? I had to fix sprinkler heads last night. I was like, I'm gonna get up in the morning bright and early and start spraying because it's supposed to rain a little. According to Channel 11's weatherman, we might get a half an inch in spring. A half an inch maybe. According to the instructions on the chemicals I'm using, once you spray it, you should water up to
a half an inch.
A half an inch. So I was like, this is perfect. So I'm going to get up super early.
Put the tuna cans out.
I'm going to get out in the yard and I'm going to spray this stuff out for all these chinch bugs. 7:30 in the morning, I start. I finish at 11:05. When I leave the house at 11:40, it's already rained almost an inch. I was so pissed.
Is that from the Laminack Weather Center that you know it rained almost
yes.
an inch?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I was livid, and the Channel 2 weatherman can go to hell. Do not pass go.
Channel 2 or Channel 11?
I mean, Channel 11. He can go directly to hell.
Last night?
Yeah. Right before Wheel of Fortune, whoever that cat is.
Must be David Paul.
He can go to hell. He was wrong ass about how much rain we might get in the area. He was like, some places might get 2 to 3 inches, and that was down like Kima, which is where I'm actually tonight for a gig. So I was like, well, that sucks.
So basically, if this one went awry, and the last one went awry where you lost
the fertilizer.
You got washed out on the fertilizer, you've basically pissed away what?
Probably
$750?
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay.
Thanks to the weathermen in this town.
And Nick and I have been telling you that if you just go to your own, get a lawn service, they take that loss, you don't. They know when to do it, when not to, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Well, they don't take care of bugs and stuff. They just mow.
If you get the right guy.
Oh, no, I don't trust those cats. I don't trust them. No, okay. I don't do it. But I did want to bring up something because yesterday we started off the show with how famous I was.
Well,
you remember that?
Yep.
And why was I famous?
Because Buckshot Bill.
Nope. That's not even
because Buckshot Bill thought you were a big deal and
that's
did something
not
on
even
Instagram.
Buckshot, it's Bushwick Bill.
Same difference.
Oh, yeah. That's the guy.
Yeah.
Nick and I got
crucified because we didn't know who he was.
One of my posts, he liked a post that I had because I had a Ghetto Boys shirt on and I had just hashtag Ghetto Boys. Mm-hmm. And he came by and he clicked on the like button. Mm-hmm. That made me famous. Well, if you thought I was famous yesterday, am I famous today? So I launched, I had the shirt that I did the Welcome to the Land Where It Just Don't Stop. And then I had the idea for another shirt for Houston Hip Hop where it's got 25 and then it's got a lighter on it. So 25 lighters. And in the lighter, it just says, I got to get paid. So I thought it was cool. I launched it. People are already buying it. They're into it. No big deal. But I just did like a few hashtags on Instagram. I did like Houston Hip Hop and then hashtag 25 lighters. I wake up this morning and DJ DMD liked the post and he said, much respect. And that's the dude that wrote 25 lighters.
Okay.
The guy that did the
song.
You
knew that, Nick, right?
No, he had no idea.
I mean, here's the deal. The thing about 25 lighters is people appreciate the song. But DJ DMD, honestly, when he liked your tweet, you knew exactly who the guy was?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah, just like I know who Bushwick Bill is. Yeah, I know exactly who DJ DMD is.
Nick and I were
talking.
And
I would be willing to bet you that if you hang tight, the text and tweet lines will show you that a lot of people
know
who
DJ DMD is.
Yeah,
I don't count those guys because it's easier for them to just sit back and listen and Google and say, oh, how could they not know those
guys? I think it was last week Nick and I were talking about DJ DMV, and we were talking about the fact that we needed to see him to get our driver's license.
He now, though, he's turned religious. So now he has a song out called 25 Bibles.
Oh my God.
No way.
That's not going to go by.
Which so, I love you, DJ DMD, but I don't love, like, he went. Remember when Mace was all like.
I was just
going to
say,
like,
he went the route of Mace.
Yeah. He was all like, bad boy for life. And then he was like, I don't screw it. Jesus for life. And then he was like, forget that. That ain't making no money. Bad boy for life. So I'm waiting for DJ DMD to come back.
Yeah,
to
Mace
25
looked at his
lighter.
Bank statement and went, Jesus Christ, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. So he liked it. And then I just made a funny little tweet. Because I saw where the Nats are serious about serious about fielding offers for Bryce Harper. So I tweeted to Daryl Morey and I said, hey, check this out. It's not too late for the Rockets to make a splash. Go out and get Bryce Harper. And I tagged him. I mean, just to be funny. I didn't think, and he liked it. And I was like, you know what? I made it. I mean, like, I'm rubbing elbows with fellow celebrities. I'm a celebrity. Other celebrities are liking my tweets.
DJ DMV is more famous in my book than Daryl Morey.
Well, that's because you hate Daryl Morey.
I don't hate him.
I mean, you kind of do.
No, I don't. You like to think I do, but that's fine. But he does love the attention, so that's good.
Well, so, yeah. So, hopefully the Rockets can pick up Bryce Harper and...
I think the Nats could use Ryan Anderson.
I do too.
Yeah, there's something to that. They got till 4 o'clock today. Maybe they can make it happen.
I'd like to see it.
Nick, what's up? Anything happened between last night at the show after we wrapped up the show and today that made anything seem somewhat exciting about today's show?
No, not really. Other than I try to keep up with what's going on in terms of moves in the NFL and NBA and stuff like that. But other than that.
Yeah, nothing baseball-wise.
Did watch the Red Sox go into extra innings. I actually watched some baseball last night.
What? Yeah, look at you. My baby's growing up.
I know.
I'm so proud of you.
Well, I tuned in at the bottom of the 10th.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, well, if
I'm here.
Tuning in now, might as well.
Nice.
So I just watched that instead of the Astros.
Okay. Well, you didn't miss much with the Astros.
Yeah.
It was an ugly game.
It was a good pitcher's duel.
For six innings.
Yeah.
That's two-thirds of the game. The other third of the game, not so much.
But Gerrit Cole gets a quality start out of it.
I mean, okay.
I'm not saying that moral victories are good at this point, but moral victories are going to be discussed, I believe, today, based on what happened off the field leading into that game last night.
Yeah, we should probably wait until next segment to talk about the Osuna trade, because it's going to take a little time.
Yeah, I got a belief it's going to consume some time for sure.
Okay.
There's some passionate people out there, Nick. I don't know if you heard or not. Patrick Creighton had someone FU him on the air.
Tyler kind of filled me in on the situation, and I figured that'd be a topic of discussion considering his past. I mean, come on. There's no way we were going to avoid not talking about his past considering his past. So
there's a lot to kick around on the show today. I know it's been a topic throughout the day so far, but why would we be any different? Well, we normally are, so we'll probably change it up a little bit too. But we're here for you. That's why we open up the phone line, 713-780-3776. That's the HRNP listener line. We appreciate all profanity going to the text line. You can also call in if you'd like to talk to us directly, or you can tweet us where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. Looking forward to taking you up till 4. It's the Usual Suspects with much more. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It obviously brings us to the center of attention for a lot of reasons. I spoke to Osuna. I spoke to John Gibbons. Obviously, Jeff informed me that the organization made a decision to bring him. And, you know, from the baseball side of it, it's hard to argue that there's a young reliever who's been dominant in his career and has been very good at the back end of games. There's that part. Now, obviously, it comes with some extra topics that we're going to have to address as a team, that we're going to, as we get to know him and get to know the situation, we'll know more about.
Well, that was just the beginning. That's A.J. Hinch. He's talking about the new Astros closer, presumably, in Roberto Osuna. A trade went down right after we got off the air yesterday. Ken Giles, no more. Along with two minor leaguers, including Paulino, who after the PED suspension last year had tumbled down the prospect list for the Astros. But in return, they get a guy that, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you have enough suitcases to talk about the baggage that he's bringing in. And I understand that the court of public opinion is fired up right now. We do have to be upfront in saying that there has been no decision in the case that was brought against him for domestic violence. So he has not been convicted. His court case is tomorrow. But if you've missed any of the details, he's been on suspension for 75 games from Major League Baseball for domestic violence, allegedly, as the case may be. But it has definitely stirred up reactions across the baseball world, and especially here with the Astros fan base. Your initial thoughts?
My initial thoughts. So. From a purely baseball perspective, The Astros win the trade. He is a lights-out, locked-down, back-into-the-bullpen closer who can be as dominant as just about anybody in the game when he's on. He's better than Ken Giles. He's better than any of the guys that they traded. But that's where it ends, because that's the baseball side of it. Unfortunately for him and for the Astros, he brings with him another dynamic that they're going to have to deal with. And my thoughts outside of the baseball part of it is they're going in the wrong direction. And you traded a guy that beat up himself for a guy that allegedly beat up his wife or his girlfriend.
I saw you tweeted it.
That's the wrong way.
Yeah, I couldn't have agreed more. Because I'm with you on the baseball side. Take everything else out of it. On the baseball side, yeah. Astros win the trade.
I feel like okay, this is what I wanted to record this, but I didn't have time because I got here at like 12:56. So you weren't the only one that was late. But I feel like the conversation between the two was something like, hey, it's Jeff Luhnow. Hey, listen, we're interested in Osuna. Okay, we'll trade you Osuna, but it's got to be like equal. All right, so we've got a guy that punches himself and a cheater, and you give us the guy that allegedly punches women, and then we'll swap it. And he's like, yeah, that's fair, that's even, because I mean, you're good. They're taking a risk too. They're taking a guy that is out because of PEDs, and then they're taking a head case and Ken Giles, but none of that compares to the baggage that Osuna has, and you really have to wonder what the conversation was in the Astros front office that said at some point you feel like that these guys are all smart enough to make kind of a pros and cons on a whiteboard and say, is this really worth it? Is this real? Do we need a closer this bad to fade this kind of anger that we're probably going to get.
And is the market that dried up and the time running out to the extent where this is your only option?
Well, so from a market perspective, you got him cheap.
I understand. You,
from a baseball perspective, you got Osuna for peanuts, essentially.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is, you know that for whatever you're talking about asset-wise and value-wise in the trade, you also have to value the fact that from the backlash standpoint, whether you say from the fan base, within baseball, maybe within your own locker room, are you putting a value on that? Because that all has to be factored in as well. Like you said, if they did exactly what he said, which is they've never done more due diligence on any move that they've made, that whiteboard should have been full on both. You should have had a lot to discuss.
Because there was the baseball side of it on the left, and then you probably needed another whiteboard for the other side.
Yeah. And the thing is, look, I don't even know where to start on this because I agree with you. From a baseball perspective, yes, they won the trade. But when you look at it and you start weighing everything and you realize whether you're a Dodger fan or a Yankee fan, you may hate the Astros because they beat your teams. But I think across baseball, before the move was made yesterday, there was an overall level of respect that, hey, they built this team the right way. They go about their business the right way. From the manager to the players, they're likable because they handle their business on and off the field the right way. And so they were at a certain level in terms of the public perception. This changes everything for a lot of people. And this screams, based on the quotes that you've heard and maybe some of them that you haven't, from the player's perspective and being around a team that in the past, I know your top players were always consulted before a move of this magnitude was made. It seems like other than possibly Jose Altuve, no one was in the mix on this. And you got two guys that have been outwardly outspoken.
I saw somebody post about that. They reposted some tweets from them when
the minor league player that there was video of beat up his girlfriend so bad. McCullers and Verlander. Verlander used the finger emoji and said, F you, man.
Yep.
Hope you enjoy the rest of your life without baseball to pay the price for what you've done, blah, 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 blah. McCullers also was very passionate about being against any kind of domestic violence like this with this case. So when you go and you talk to Verlander before the game, and he basically was very subdued but said, no, we weren't consulted. And no, this wasn't anything where anybody asked any of us. And, you know, yeah, A.J. Hinch addressed the team, but and they said he's going to address the team, meaning Osuna, when he comes in. But you get the feeling like they're not going to pass judgment completely till they see how they handle it behind closed doors. But it screams of a very tight together locker room that might have something putting a little line in the sand down the middle of the locker room based on how this plays out.
Well, you would have thought that making a move like this, that they would have gone through some of the veteran leaders on the team.
Agreed.
And if they didn't, that was their second mistake. I think their first mistake was taking this chance. Because, listen, that's what this is. It's a chance. There's a chance that after Wednesday, he's acquitted, found not guilty, the case is dismissed, charges are dropped. There's a lot of things that can take place where everybody's getting up in arms because of a baseball ruling and not a court of law ruling. Keep that in mind. Because remember, we've seen this in football where guys have been acquitted of all charges of domestic violence or other crimes. And Roger Goodell in the NFL just felt like they needed to take a stand anyways, even though there was no evidence in a court of law that would have convicted these guys. So that's also something to keep in mind, is that baseball felt certain that he did it, but will a court of law also find that? Now, if they do, then it's even worse.
It is, but you also realize that it is a possibility that he can be found innocent in the courts because of lack of evidence, but that doesn't necessarily mean he didn't do it.
Right, but if there's lack of evidence in a court, what evidence does baseball have to make them think otherwise? That's the question.
Here's the question. Okay, but here's the question I have on that front, too. The last time anybody that I can remember in baseball got rung up on domestic violence, Aroldis Chapman strangled his girlfriend, shot a gun 8 times, went off, got 30 games. Major League Baseball, 30 games. That's past precedence. 30 games is one thing, more than double it for what Osuna got. So, and then on the flip, and in response to that, Osuna's crew, whether it be his lawyers and his camp, they didn't fight that. They didn't ask for an appeal on that. They didn't say, BS, we're innocent, we're fighting this thing. They accepted it. He's been serving that sentence. There's a lot of messages sent with those two factors alone, because baseball is not the NFL. They are not Roger Goodell, just shoot from the hip, make decisions as we feel like it, and don't worry about past precedents. They have always gone back and looked at cases in the past. I don't know if it's, what was it, the Chapman deal was a couple years ago?
2016.
And now there's been more obvious
in society, it's at an all-time high.
The Me Too movement, and everything else.
Sensitivity is at an all-time high.
So it's everything's magnified. So maybe that factored in as well. But
because here's the thing, like if the Astros, and I'm just throwing this out, that was 2 years ago, Aroldis Chapman,
right?
If Aroldis Chapman was on the trading blocks today, and the Astros made a move for him, guess how many people would be pissed off and calling Patrick Creighton and effing him off and on the phones and tweeting to us and saying, I'm never going to another Astros game ever again. Very few, if any, because it's so far from their memory. They forget that Aroldis Chapman did that because it was a couple years ago. Yankee fans still go. Cubs fans went. The fact of the matter is that this is occurring right now, and Aroldis Chapman was not arrested. There were no charges filed against him. The witness and other witnesses declined to cooperate. But baseball still felt like he should be punished for it. Although nothing happened in the court of law, and that could happen again. So do you forgive Osuna the way everyone seems to have forgiven Chapman? That's the dilemma that the Astros have put themselves in. And I'm not saying one way or the other. I have my own personal feelings on the whole thing. But I'm just saying this is what the Astros have to, and I'm guessing these were conversations that were taking place. And with him and with his lawyers, and how do you think this is going? What does it look like? I'm sure this all had to have gone down.
I'm with you. I got my own opinions too, but you're right. That whiteboard is an interesting topic because it should have had even that stuff on it. So we'll continue to talk about it. Anton and Eric, we see you. You're coming up next.
Right out of the break, promise.
I've got the quotes if we need them from McCullers and Verlander, but you know that there's probably an issue there too. But plenty to talk about Astro-wise after this trade. We'll be back with more of the usual suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects on a rainy, dark Tuesday in the big city. Topic at hand that we kind of had an inkling might be something you guys want to kick around a little bit is that of this trade. If you were curious, just real quick, the two tweets that went out when the minor league, the video came out of the minor league player that...
And that was brutal, by the way. That
awful
video?
Yes.
Ugh. And that was Ray Rice-esque.
And he should, no question.
It was
about
way
it.
Worse than Ray Rice, in my opinion.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, because not to defend Ray Rice in any way, shape, or form, but she ran towards Ray Rice, and he obviously made the decision to punt, like lift his arm up and punch her, but he didn't keep going. Like
This guy just kept beating
the crap out of him out of her again and again and again and again. Like,
yeah.
Multiple levels.
Brutal.
So McCullers' tweet at that time when that video emerged, the minor league player said, the issue here is no one cared as much until a video was leaked. Now everyone's outraged. This is the reality of domestic violence. It's always brutal, always sickening. We must fight for the victims, video or not. He should be in jail. If you need help, find it. People care. Okay? And then Verlander at the same time posted the finger emoji, F you, man. I hope the rest of your life without baseball is horrible. You deserve all that is coming your way. So we did hear from Verlander yesterday. He said, you know, a lot of things. He, again, kind of what we covered. We're waiting on what happens in the courts to find out if he's guilty or not. Now, supposedly his lawyer has asked for a stay to delay the decision in the court case, which means it could be weeks now before we get some kind of closure on the actual legalities of what went down. And if you're not familiar, the incident happened in Canada, so therefore, in Canadian law, you don't have to release details of the case. So we may never know. And now there is, I don't know if you guys saw this, on Patrick's show, someone implied that there might be video of this somewhere on social media. But for the most part, everybody said, unlike the minor league baseball case, there's no video of this.
Right, and unlike the Ray Rice case.
Well, Ray Rice case, the video came later.
But I'm saying there was still there.
Yep.
That's the thing is, that was the big question about the Ray Rice case is, you knew that he did it and nothing happened. And then once you saw the video, that made it worse.
It just made it worse. And that's the reason why people like, you know, Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers, it drove them to make that comment because they saw the video. The reality is there's a lot of players and athletes out there that may have done equally as bad treatment towards their spouse in terms of domestic violence, but the video never came out.
Yeah.
And so they're not viewed in the same light.
Because the other thing that behooves us talking about all this is when the video did come out, then the questions were, did the NFL see it? Did they know it existed? Did they bury it?
Because it was literally, I remember when that story broke, and I remember when it came out, I think, I want to say a little over 30 days after the fact. I think it was like 40 days after the fact that the video came out. So there's no way TMZ had that video and the NFL and the Baltimore Ravens didn't know. I just don't believe it.
Yeah.
I just don't.
So, it just makes you wonder, what is it that the Astros know that they took? Because you were saying that there was some chick from Astros County that wrote an open letter and said, been a fan for 30 years and I'm done. Like, this was a really calculated move by the Astros, and one that I think within the first 24 hours is definitely backfire. Definitely.
No question. Because you know what? The quotes in that we can get to, but about they've never done more due diligence.
Yeah.
So you would think everything we've discussed and more had been on the table before they even thought about making this move.
They knew this was going to be a PR nightmare. They had to know it,
right? But here's so there's another thing in the
what
quotes.
Do they know?
And there's another thing in the quotes I want to get to because that's something that's really been rattling in my head since the deal was announced. But we do have some calls, so let's get to them. Anton, you were first on the board, so we'll get you in here. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, man?
Been listening for a while. I love y'all's show, man.
Appreciate it.
I'm not a baseball fan or anything like that, but I kind of like how Verlander stepped up to the plate and kind of basically said he don't care who this guy is or how good he is. You know, there's no place in our world for domestic violence. But I got a feeling that I'm going to get ready to hear a lot of excuses from a lot of Astros fans because I feel like if it would have happened with another team, a lot of people would be, you know, down on that team or everything. But just because you're a fan of a team, I don't feel like, you know, you should agree with, you know, them signing this person. I feel like you should, you know, feel a certain way about that, you know. But that's all I have to say. I just feel like it's going to be a lot of excuses of why, you know, people are going to back the Astros for signing them. That's it.
Appreciate the call, man. Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of it. I haven't seen a lot of people coming forward and saying, you know, what I was saying earlier, which is you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if he's going to be found guilty or not in a court of law. And that's why we have to, when we bring it up, we have to say it allegedly because we don't know, you know, the legality of what this was. I think that most people that you, if you read enough about it, most people around it, there was an article that came out. Buster Olney wrote about it. And he even talked about the fact that I'll read you the quote. Osuna has done, this is directly from his article on ESPN from Buster Olney. Osuna has done nothing to publicly accept responsibility for what happened. There's been no acknowledgement of his actions, no specific apology, no guilty plea. He hasn't been transparent at all. And at this time, his suspension was announced. His lawyer told reporters that his acceptance of the suspension was not an admission of guilt in whatever happened. So it's not like he came out. Like Aroldis Chapman came out and said, I didn't do anything. Like, I honestly didn't do anything. This guy's not doing anything. It's basically Buster Olney is saying it's kind of suspicious the way he's approached this and handled it. But again, that's all hearsay. So you just wonder what the Astros had to do to make this okay in their mind.
So
such a risk.
If you read between the lines at all, based on what you're saying too, about what Luno said in his initial statement that was released after the trade was made. We're excited to welcome Roberto Osuna to our team. The due diligence by our front office was unprecedented. We're confident that Osuna is remorseful, has willfully complied with all consequences related to his past behavior, has proactively engaged in counseling, and will fully comply with our zero tolerance policy related to abuse of any kind. Does that not right there tell you that there is some guilt involved in this entire process based on the fact that he basically clearly stated that the remorseful complied, took all the consequences related to his past behavior, proactively engaged in counseling? That tells me he ain't getting out of this washing his hands clean of it, saying he didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's a good point.
It's a dangerous PR move, though, to say that the due diligence is unprecedented.
Yeah.
Don't say that. It's better for not know. Let's say there is a video. It's actually better for the Astros to not have seen it. You know what I mean? That's why that's a bad PR move.
The worst PR move is to mention the zero tolerance policy.
So, boom.
You're bringing in a dude that's on the hook right now with baseball and would be a violator of your zero tolerance policy. So, obviously, the zero tolerance policy has some wiggle room.
Yeah.
Is the message you're sending.
And it's also saying we're going to go from this point moving forward with the zero tolerance policy. It's not saying that it's been in place or anything like that. And the bigger thing to me is when you use that term and you say zero tolerance policy, it seems to me, because this is all based on the player's reaction, based on Hinch's reaction, this is a Jeff Luhnow move. This is the first time that he's sticking his neck out and putting it all on his shoulders. And what it's screaming to me is zero tolerance of not of the domestic violence. He's basically saying, I have a zero tolerance for the fact that the Yankees, the Red Sox, and even the Indians are getting better and they have a chance to win, and I got to do whatever it takes to win and get my team set up.
It's just surprising. That's what worries me. He's so smart. I just agree. Wonder what's going on. Let's get Eric's call.
Yep.
Eric wants to talk about the trade. Eric, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm just really dismayed about this trade. This is the same team who released Julio Lugo in 2003, I think, after domestic violence issues. And I'm not too sure they did their due diligence. I think they just panicked because they're looking for a closer. And I don't think they did any research. I mean, what happens? You said that they're going to postpone the trial. And this guy has a few big saves in a couple games, and they find him guilty. What do you do then? You have to release him. I'll hang up and listen.
I mean, it's not, if that happens, if he's found guilty, it's not going to be in his hands. It's not going to be in the team's hands, I mean. It's going to be in Major League Baseball's hands. They're going to come down swiftly because, again, we're saying this, and Barry and I were talking in the break, too. When the Chapman situation broke a couple years ago, there wasn't as much attention and a light being shined on just how big of an issue from the Me Too movement to domestic violence really is and should be, and it should be at the forefront. Now, it is really at an all-time high in terms of awareness and trying to do things to combat domestic violence. And because of all those factors, if he's found guilty, man, I'm telling you what, I don't know that the suspension's even going to be in games and days. It could be years or maybe permanent. You know, there could be even permanent.
Yeah, it could be. And just, I mean, I know that the Me Too movement is important, but Me Too movement, I think, is more about sexual assault.
It is, but I mean, it's bringing light to...
Not domestic violence.
Sticking up for women.
Yeah, but I just... When I heard about the trade, I was driving home listening to the Blitz, and I was thinking to myself, what do they know that nobody else knows? That's the only thing that makes me think that
Can't be anything good.
I'm not saying good. My point is, unless they have facts that no one else, even including the Blue Jays, has that points to him being innocent. What are they doing? Like you're isolating yourself. All this goodwill that you've built up. Jeff Luhnow, as good as he's done as a general manager for this team and built them from nothing to a World Series champion, and the Jim Crane coming in and keeping his promise, we're going to spend money when people show up, and the community loves you. You're the darling of the city.
Yeah.
Dare I say, you're more popular than the Texans right now.
Yep.
I mean, really, you can't go anywhere without seeing a star on people's hats and cars. And
don't sell them short because...
And then you do this?
This isn't even the city. Nationwide?
Yeah.
Based on taking the whole Houston Strong and the Hurricane and the way they represented the underdog and came and won the World Series, There were people jumping on the bandwagon across the country. You saw the crowds in Denver last week. All in the cities that the Astros go to, people were jumping on because they loved this team and what it stood for and how they were the underdog and beat all the odds and all those things. And all of a sudden, in one fall swoop with this move, it's changed a whole lot of opinions to negative from what was a big positive.
Now, you've heard some of the quotes, and I know you've probably seen some of the quotes. You may have heard some of the quotes on ESPN 97.5, but I always talk about tone and how important that is. So this is what Justin Verlander sounded like when he was asked about the situation. I just think it's important to hear his tone.
Yeah, Luno said that he talked to some players on the team about the trade. Did he reach out to you about it?
He did not talk to me personally, no.
What's your reaction to getting this sooner?
It's a tough tough situation. I think the thing for us to remember here is that the details haven't come to light. We don't know the whole story. Obviously, I've said some pretty inflammatory things about stuff like this in the past, and I stand by my words.
It goes on for about a minute and a half, but Nick's right. He never changed that tone.
You just look at his face. I wanted to play the entire thing, but we have to go to break. It's like 2 minutes and 20 seconds. But you look at his face, you can tell he's uncomfortable. Yeah. You can tell his face is kind of uneasy.
Did he not also look not happy?
Yeah, he didn't look happy at all. Yeah.
Again, you go through all this. Now, not only are you putting your organization in a weird situation in the front office, you're putting the players in a weird situation.
Very much.
Because they've come out publicly. And rightfully so. I mean, you're not a hero because you take a positive stance against domestic violence. Everyone should, and I believe just about everyone does. But to publicly say that, there has to be more men that publicly say that. So it's good that they do that. Don't get me wrong. But you've isolated and you're alienating literally everyone around this organization. I hope this was worth it in their eyes. I just can't see how it is. I don't see the payoff for this. When you win another World Series and it comes to light that there was a video or something like this and he did it, it means nothing to me. It's tainted.
Was the potential? Yeah, basically what you're saying is, was the potential result at the end of the year worth all the ramifications and all the other
stuff? I hope another ring was worth the amount of hate you're going to get.
Exactly. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Knuckles, Daniel, we see you. Hang tight. We'll keep rolling on this topic and others. We are here for you. It is The Usual Suspects. It is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, hour number one, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Reminder that at 3 o'clock, the Sports Mappers will join us on 94.1, and we will simulcast, and that's the way it will be till 7 when the Blitz take over at 4. So that's always good. Obviously, the topic at hand that everybody wants to talk about is this Astros trade last night for Roberto Osuna and his past issues, and of course, in the process, Ken Giles also shipped out to Canada.
You know, when I heard that this trade was going through, obviously the first thing I thought about is, well, tomorrow's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think about the fact that no matter what you do on this show, no matter what we talk about, and no matter what stance we have or what we say, people are going to be idiots about this. And people are going to
get upset.
And they're going to get mad.
Yep. Right when you said, hey, from a baseball standpoint, right when you prefaced it like that, it didn't matter that you prefaced it.
No. Nope.
Because there's going to be an idiot that's going to come at you.
So,
well,
first this one dude, Turo Endo, says, so basically, anyone that has ever been involved in domestic violence should not get any second chances and should be unemployed. That's what he tweeted to me. Hey, Barry, this is what you're saying. No, I'm not saying he shouldn't have a job. He can work in jail all he wants. But he needs to be behind bars if he's
found guilty.
If he beat a woman, you're going to jail. And yeah, you can make license plates or boots or flip-flops or whatever the hell they make in jail. But no, you don't get a second chance if you beat a woman and you're guilty. I'm sorry. Turnindo or whatever the hell your name is on Twitter. I'm sorry.
You preach that one. Yeah, preach. Seriously.
That's not... And, no. there's this. I'm sorry. But I want to get this out of the way, too, because on the flip side, that guy's an idiot, and so is this guy. And this guy is on the other side of the fence, or gal. I don't know. Can you guys stop debating the PR side of this? Please stop making the only time we have any discussions about domestic violence our need to hide that it exists so we can enjoy something guilt-free. You guys are hurting more than you're helping, particularly since you're not even helping in the slightest. You know what? It's our job to come on here and talk about this. Okay. And I'm sorry that you don't like it in the way that we presented it. But the fact of the matter is we've talked about it openly and honestly from a baseball perspective, from a PR perspective, from a fan's perspective.
From a life perspective.
From a life perspective, from every different angle that we can approach this from. At the end of the day, if you sat here and asked us, is it a problem? Yes, it's a problem. But you know what? You'll be the same person that would rather talk about whether players should kneel or shouldn't kneel as opposed to why they're kneeling. So I realize you have your own flag and your own banner, but we do plenty of social commentary on here. We are allowed to talk about sports when the two cross, okay? I mean, both sides are sometimes just get ridiculous.
Someone said something to you. Someone insulted you. What did they say?
No. That was it.
They called you a name. They called you a name.
No, there was no name calling in there. But the problem...
Let me know.
No, there was no name calling. The problem becomes that people, I get it. It's a passionate topic, and it should be. It should be. But there are many different facets of what this is. This is involved in sports. So you have to take into account the baseball side of it. You have to take into account the PR side of it. You have to take into account the fans, the front office, the players, the message that you're sending to your community. All of that matters, and we've talked about all that.
Yeah, that's the
thing. What do you want us to stop and make this show strictly about domestic violence? This is a sports talk show that involves a sports athlete that was involved in domestic violence, allegedly. That's what we're talking about. Sorry.
No, I mean, look, the thing is, I'll just say this. Don't go through our show with earplugs and blinders and not realize how many different ways we've tried to look at this situation. And I couldn't, everything else, I agree with what you said. And there's no need to even say anything more.
I know we got tons of callers, but I did want to read this because this is also important. This is a side that we don't talk about. All these other, there's the texter that just said, you guys never talk about domestic violence and you're not helping. Which, go back and listen to our show over the last year and a half. Again, I'm not going to sit here and try to justify what we do and don't do on this show to you. But this texter said, I'm out $5,000 for breaking a candle that I bought in my own home because my wife called the cops. I got charged with, quote, domestic violence, even though she called and asked for the non-emergency line, stated... The state decided to charge me with her without her pressing charges. So again, and I've seen this. I've had friends that their wife and them were arguing. They got charged and never struck her. There's a tons of different sides to this argument. You know, it's just like anything else. There's always guys that are going to be accused that didn't do anything, that get away with it, that did do something, that did it and got caught. There's just so many different sides to this. So when you're sitting there on your high horse telling us that we're not helping, please don't judge.
Yeah, and this is one of these rare situations too, where right from the get-go, the passion is going to create that narrow-mindedness. Mm-hmm. There's not anybody that's going to be looking at this situation rationally. You're either on one side or the other, and you are coming 150 miles an hour.
Nope.
So that's what we're dealing with. So with that being said, we've got a full board. We got to get to a lot of calls. You pick them, Barry, and we'll just keep rolling.
Looks like Knuckles was first. He's
Knuckles
been
holding longest. Knuckles was first, and Daniel was waiting. But I think we should put Christina up.
Ladies first, absolutely.
Just because of this particular topic.
Yeah. Fellas, hold up. We're going to go ladies first on this. Yeah, good call.
All right, Christina, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
So this has been quite torturous for me because, as you guys know, I'm a Jays fan.
Yep.
I've known about his suspension. I know that he's been getting shopped around for weeks. And I also was like, okay, if he comes back to the team, I love this organization. And I know he's talented, but I also just know seeing him on the mound, I just wouldn't have the same kind of respect. So then it was they're going to get rid of him. And then to see, the Astros picked him up, I was just dumbfounded because I attend a lot of Astros games. I would say that's definitely my secondary team growing up here, the second part of my life. And having a daughter here who I'd take to games. The Astros inspired her to get into softball. She was with me when we found out about the Osuna incident. And how do I still haven't seen her, so I'm like, I can't even figure out how to properly put this into words to her to say, hey, yeah, we're going to go support this team after, because I would never want her to be in a relationship like that. And when sports has become such a big part of our lives, how can I look her in the face and say, like, yeah, we're going to go support this team, knowing who they've just picked up? Like, I'm incredibly conflicted and hate that this is, that this organization's been tainted like this.
So, Christina, I'm going to ask you, because I want to know your perspective on this. If how the court outcome, however that plays out, is that going to determine whether you continue to support this team and support the Astros? Does that have any bearing on what you're going to do in the future?
To some great extent, it does. Because especially, I mean, if he gets found guilty, and I don't know, like I said, we all don't really know the full details. I know that they're saying he might get a peace bond, so it might end up being where it's not released, but you're charged, not fully charged, but it's aware that there's not enough evidence to back it up, but you can be held accountable for this incident. And Canada just works so much differently than the U.S., so we're limited to so many details. But I feel like the MLB knew so much more than any of us did to come down with a hammer like that. I can't see that it wasn't, you didn't have the enough information to make that kind of decision.
And Christina, you being a Blue Jays fan, and you know and follow a lot of blogs, a lot of people that have inside information on the Blue Jays, for as much as hasn't been announced, can you shed any light on the details you found out, at least in passing, on you know, what happened and why the MLB already threw down such a big suspension?
I've been looking at myself, and even just when it initially happened, I know it was the incidents. From what I understand, that there was like some kind of physical altercation, but I know he's not allowed to be near her at all. He's not allowed to have any drugs, any weapons. Like, he's just not any contact with her at all. But I'm still been pretty limited on details.
As have we all. Christina, appreciate the call.
Thanks.
Yeah. We got a full board. Let's try to get one more. We're supposed to go to break, but we'll grab one more. Knuckles, you're up. Knuckles, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Jenna? I'm going to try to make it quick for you.
Sure.
The lady was, Joe just was reading out all of, I have this weird feedback. I can't even talk.
Your radio on and your turn signal's on. Should we move on to the next caller?
Yeah, call back, Knuckles. Hang up, call back. We'll grab you after the break. Daniel.
Hello, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel, what's up?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. So here's what I want to kind of bring to this table. I have a 3-year-old daughter. I in no way, in any instances, shape, or form, am okay with domestic violence when it comes to putting your hands on a woman. But I'd like to get you guys' opinions and maybe some opinions from other callers. Where exactly, at what point is the line drawn? Because we've seen numerous cases, like, we have no evidence, no information on this case at all. There's literally almost nothing that we know about it. No pictures, no witnesses, no nothing. At what point would y'all say the line is drawn as far as when a man can protect himself? And like I said from the beginning, I have a daughter. So I'm not trying to, I don't want to be looked at as the guy that's trying to defend this guy. Because like everyone else, I know nothing. I don't know anything about this case. I didn't even know the guy was being accused until he got here. And I watch baseball all the time. So where is the line drawn where you are now able to defend yourself? Because it seems like nowadays even there's a lot of false accusations towards men for this. Like the guy said about breaking the candle and all of a sudden the state picks up the charges. You know, if a woman comes at you with a weapon, are you just supposed to run? Or at what point are you allowed to defend yourself?
Okay.
How do we know?
Daniel, there's a big difference between defending yourself and, like, retaliating.
Yeah, I'm not even going to get into that. That doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, Daniel, but I don't know. I don't know what point you were trying to make, but there are very few reasons you could give me on why it would be all right to strike a woman.
Indeed.
I'm sorry. I just
and to wrap up the first part of his call, just because we don't know doesn't mean the people that need to know don't have a ton of information on this. And again, the laws in Canada state they don't have to make sure we know. But I'm pretty sure that the people, the authorities, got everything that they need to know.
Here's the one thing you have to wonder, too. You got a guy who, by all accounts, is in baseball terms, is a pretty damn good closer. On a team who is rebuilding, but he's young, he's under team control. Yeah. What do the Blue Jays know that maybe nobody else knows about this, where they were like, we don't want him? And if you're the Astros, how is that not a red flag where you're like, whoa, 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 why don't you want him? Oh, because we know this, this, and this. They're not going to give you that info because they want to get rid of him because he's a PR nightmare. Again, I can't for the life of me figure out what the Astros were thinking.
I also wanted to ask Christina, was it a part of the Canadian culture? Because you look at what the CFL did and how they rejected Greg Hardy. We always joke about how we will never talk about the CFL because we don't care here in this country, let's be honest.
But they didn't,
But you got to give them credit for not allowing someone like Greg Hardy to play for their, not just any team on the CFL, for the CFL in general.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So,
and the other thing to keep in mind is, up until this move, you weren't the Cincinnati Bengals. You weren't the Raiders.
Or the Dallas Cowboys.
Or the Dallas Cowboys. That's where I was going. Yeah. You were the Houston Astros, and you were set on a pretty high pedestal in terms of respect. That's changed.
So all that hate and vitriol and mean tweets and texts you sent to all the Cowboys fans when their organization went out and got Greg Hardy, you should go delete those, Astros fan.
There you go. It's been a spirited hour number one, and the board is still filling up as we get to hour number two. We've got much more to get to, and we appreciate you being a participant in the show. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.